Tired of loud commercials? Welcome to the next in the series of the combined congressional hearings regarding the issue of the reestablishment of the original rules for low-power FM, that is LPFM, loud commercials on television, and prison telephone costs. This is the June 11, 2009, U.S. Federal Congressional Subcommittee on Communications, Technology, and the Internet hearings. As is common, they are holding hearings on three bills simultaneously, and so the comments weave back and forth between all three bills, but there is some clustering of the issues, so today we will cover that segment of the hearings that mostly concerned loud commercials, specifically H.R. 1084, the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act, CALM Act, Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act. Next week, we'll cover the testimony of witnesses focusing primarily on low-power FM. But for this week, the CALM Act covered today regards a problem long annoying us for 50 years, the fact that so many commercials on TV are so much louder than the programs. I can tell you from having built WRIR that a simple circuit called a compressor limiter would fix the problem. We use compressor limiters in the audio systems here at WRIR to keep things from getting too loud and creating distortion and exceeding FCC guidelines for our broadcast. As you have no doubt heard, you can push the system to the point that it distorts, but if the final compressor limiter is working, it won't get past a certain level of volume unless the system is maladjusted or broken, thus protecting us from FCC fines. This is a technology that has been available for decades and could be put into the audio systems of television stations. In fact, is by FCC rules, but hasn't been done in such a manner as to reduce the jump in volume for commercials. I say in such a manner because, for example, Carolyn Cox purchased a TV with some kind of limiter that was designed to prevent commercials from being too much louder. She said it worked for the first 2 years she had the TV, and now the commercials are once again louder than the programming. That means that either her circuit has broken on the television, or that the motivated technicians of commercial producers and or television broadcasters have found a way to bypass that circuit, and yet not risk FCC fines by overmodulating the signal. Either that or it's not being enforced. Overmodulated signals splatter onto adjacent broadcast channels and are therefore a no-no in the FCC rules. An extreme example is when, for example, you might hear an illegal CB citizen band transceiver radio go by, drive by in their car or truck, and you hear crackling and then the CB radio voice in your regular radio or TV, sometimes even on devices that are not meant to receive broadcasts at all, such as, for example, baby monitors or a tape recorder. Based on my experience building WRIR, I find any claims that the loud volume of commercials can't be controlled, therefore, to be a lie for the purpose of continuing the practice. It's probable that the only reason that something's being done about it now, some 50 years after it was first a problem, is that many people have given up on regular TV watching, partly because of the commercials are so badly produced and annoying, and have moved on to TiVo, internet downloads, video streaming. Competition is destroying the near monopoly, and so only now are some seeking to save themselves from the corrosive effects of bad commercials on the very survival of regular television. That's my considered opinion on that, not necessarily anyone else's. Then the week after this, we have the segment that is almost entirely about low-power FM, that is H.R. 1147. Again, these three bills are discussed all together, so the conversation weaves back and forth a bit. So there'll be some mixture. You don't have to wait until H.R. 1147, the Local Community Radio Act of 2009, arrives at the floor of Congress for a vote. You could call and email your friends and family all over the world to call their Congress critters. I mean, a lot of people live overseas, but they're still registered to vote. Call their Congress critter to become a co-sponsor of H.R. 1147, the Local Community Radio Act of 2009. Just like in Rwanda, the voices of internal war and civil terrorism are beating their drums on Clear Channel, Fox News, to huge religious radio networks, but rather than moving to censorship, I think it's better to build 1,000 little WRIRs in every urbanized area in the United States. And H.R. 1147 could make that possible. It could also potentially double the listenable range in a good car radio for listeners of WRIR. So, we begin with a snip of Congressman Cliff Stearns, a Republican from Florida who is the ranking member of the U.S. House of Representatives Subcommittee on Communications, Technology, and the Internet, his comments on the COM Act.
Last, Mr. Chairman, we are examining H.R. 1804, the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act, and I'll compliment the author of the bill with the word COM Act. I'm sure they worked hard to get that to come together. This bill would require the FCC to mandate rules within 1 year prohibiting commercials from being excessively noisy or strident. The issue is more complex than it appears. Many different entities are responsible for producing and distributing the content consumers see and hear today. Each element may be recorded and provided at different volume levels. Moreover, shows and movies have a dynamic sound range to cover everything from a quiet scene to an explosion. Commercials, meanwhile, tend to have a narrow sound range. Volume levels are typically set for the programming, which can throw off the volume levels for commercials. 2 years ago, the Advanced Television Systems Committee established a subgroup on digital television loudness. This subgroup consists of the leading experts on audio technology from all the major broadcast networks, cable, production, and post-production, manufacturing, education in the United States of America. Since it was established, these audio technology experts have crafted a hard-fought consensus on the recommended practices that should be employed across the TV industry to deal with TV loudness concerns. Mr. Chairman, I trust the collective wisdom of these technical experts to craft a solution to the TV loudness issue. The subgroup's hard work should not be undone by legislation. One suggestion would be to revise the bill simply so that the FCC rulemaking only commences if industry has not addressed the issue within a certain amount of time. So I think we have perhaps a solution to our problem with this Advanced Television Systems Committee and all the hard work they've done in this area. So, Mr. Chairman, I look forward to the hearing, the witnesses, and I welcome again the opportunity to ask them questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stearns, for a very thoughtful statement.
And here's a clip of McNierney, a representative from California, speaking on the COM Act, as a subset of the U.S. House of Representatives Subcommittee on Communications, Technology, and the Internet, as they discuss low-power FM, prison telephone rates, and, at this moment, COM, which is an acronym for H.R. 1084, the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act, COM Act. That's Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation
Act. Concerning the COM Act, we've all experienced unpleasant sudden volume changes during TV programming. The problem was identified more than 50 years ago, and many other nations are already adopting standards. Now, there's one experience I had as a young boy. I was a teenager. One of the very Sunday afternoons that my father allowed me to watch TV, which wasn't every Sunday afternoon, I was watching a horror show in the den, and he was out barbecuing, and the advertisement came on, and he came running in, wanted to know what was happening because it was so loud he could hear all the screaming outside. It was somebody selling furniture. So I've experienced this. It'd be interesting to see what we can do about it. So with that, I yield back the balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. McNerney.
This is the June 11th, 2009 U.S. Federal Congressional Subcommittee on Communications, Technology, and the Internet. As is common, they are holding hearings on three bills simultaneously, and so the comments weave back and forth between all three bills. There is some clustering of these issues, so today we'll cover that segment of the hearing that mostly concerned loud commercials, specifically H.R. 1084, the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act, COM Act. That's Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act. The invited witnesses to testify on the COM Act to reduce overly loud commercials on TV are Joel Kelsey, Policy Analyst, Consumers Union; David Donovan, the President, Association for Maximum Service Television, Incorporated; and Jim Starzynski, the Principal Engineer and Audio Architect, NBC Universal Advanced Engineering.
Chairman Boucher, Ranking Member Stearns, and esteemed members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify before you for the first time today on behalf of Consumers Union, the nonprofit publisher of Consumer Reports. While I'm here to offer consumer viewpoints on H.R. 1084, the COM Act, I would be remiss if I did not also take this opportunity to highlight Consumers Union's support of the Local Community Radio Act. The current cost of starting up an FM radio station is close to $2.5 million. This financial hurdle often places the station licenses outside of the reach of local hands at a time when consumers are craving more local information than ever before. Efforts to support the LPFM bill are efforts to support the families, workers, and places of worship that are the anchors in our communities. The Calm Act, introduced by Representative Eshoo, addresses a widespread consumer complaint, the abrupt loudness of television advertisements. Representative Eshoo's legislation will go a long way towards preventing advertisements from screaming at consumers in their own living rooms. Specifically, the act would enable the Federal Communications Commission to monitor the volume of advertisements and television programming and determine acceptable levels. This would ensure that the volume levels of commercial breaks are consistent with the volume level of the programming which it brackets. For years, consumers have noticed that when a television program cuts to commercial breaks, the volume of the television suddenly rises to a shout, far beyond the average level of the television program it follows. We've often wondered, are advertisers trying to scare us into remembering the names of their products? This abrupt, sometimes shocking change in volume during advertisements is not a new phenomenon. In fact, consumer complaints about loud commercials began streaming into the FCC in the 1960s. At that point, the agency contended that there was no way to measure the volume level of commercials, but did conclude loud commercials were contrary to the public interest and should be avoided. Throughout the next two decades, the commission launched several fact-finding proceedings, ultimately concluding that although technology to measure the volume of commercials now exists, the perceived loudness of commercials is subjective and would vary from listener to listener. In 1984, the FCC commented, "As more is learned about loudness, it is likely that more sophisticated control devices will be developed and used by broadcasters. Such action should begin to eliminate complaints of objectionable loudness." 25 years later, complaints continue to flood the commission. In fact, in the 25 quarterly reports that the FCC releases on consumer complaints, 21 of them have listed complaints about loud commercials as among the top consumer grievances in radio and television broadcasting. We believe this widespread consumer issue, which has spanned 45 years, is a result of more than just the arbitrary or subjective perception of consumers. Rather, it's a real consumer grievance that deserves a new approach in the new era of digital broadcasting. The current FCC guidance regarding loud commercials mostly points consumers towards equipment that they can purchase to stabilize the volume during transitions to commercials. However, not every consumer can afford to purchase TV sets with smart sound, nor should they have to. Advertisers simply do not have the right to scream at consumers in their own living rooms. And consumers should not have to pay to experience peace and quiet in the sanctity of their own home. There are several complexities that accompany this action by the agency. In particular, there are differences in the compressed audio levels of television shows and commercials. While the audio of a television show usually matches natural sound more closely, the audio of a commercial has less distinction between loud and soft sounds, resulting in everything seeming much louder. We recommend the FCC focus in on this question in particular and develop an approach that's consistent with the 1979 Notice of Inquiry. In that notice, the agency concedes that a dynamic range of volume is desirable with regard to broadcasting, but at some point, the amount of deviation from that average audio level begins to conflict with the public sensibilities. Placing a national standard on the loudness of commercials is not without an international precedent. In fact, the Library of Congress has noted that legislation addressing this matter has already been adopted in Australia, Brazil, France, Israel, Russia, and the United Kingdom. In addition, the International Telecommunications Union has adopted standards that offer guidance to measure the audio levels of different programs. In conclusion, the Calm Act provides an elegant and common sense solution to finally ending a 45-year consumer complaint in the United States. Consumers Union endorses the Calm Act as a solid step towards protecting consumers from unduly loud commercial advertisements, commends Representative Eshoo from championing this legislation, and urges lawmakers to bring this measure forward. Thank you very much. I look forward to your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kelsey. Mr. Donovan.
This is the June 11th, 2009 U.S. Federal Congressional Subcommittee on Communications, Technology, and the Internet. As is common, they are holding hearings on three bills simultaneously, and so the comments weave back and forth between all three bills. There is some clustering of these issues, so today we'll cover that segment of the hearing that mostly concerned loud commercials, specifically H.R. 1084, the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act, Calm Act. That's Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act. The invited witnesses to testify on the COM Act to reduce overly loud commercials on TV are Joel Kelsey, Policy Analyst, Consumers Union; David Donovan, the President, Association for Maximum Service Television, Incorporated; and Jim Starzynski, the Principal Engineer and Audio Architect, NBC Universal Advanced Engineering.
Thank you, Chairman Boucher, Ranking Member Stearns. And
Mr. Donovan, you do have a very penetrating voice, which we welcome, but the microphone would be better still.
I apologize. Thank you, Chairman Boucher, Ranking Member Stearns. Is this on? Ranking Member Stearns and members of the subcommittee for the opportunity today regarding broadcasters' efforts to resolve variations in volume between regular programming and commercials in digital television. And I also want to thank Representative Eshoo for the introduction of the CARM Act. MSTV is a nonprofit trade association representing television broadcast stations across the country. In effect, we are the engineering arm of the television broadcast industry, and our mission is to ensure that American consumers have the highest quality, interference-free local television. We have been actively involved in the digital television transition since the 1980s. Working with the FCC, we helped develop the digital TV table of allotments. We helped design the digital converter box that is the backbone of the transition. And we have also been actively involved in dealing with the question of loud commercials. At the outset, MSTV and the broadcast industry want the committee to understand that we fully recognize the problem. We get it. The future of our business, of digital television in particular, depends in large measure on consumer satisfaction. Unexpected changes in volume can ignore consumers and disrupt the viewing experience. The television broadcast industry has every interest in ensuring in the digital age that consumers are not subject to such frustrations. As a matter of pure economics, we do not want to lose viewers. Our revenue depends on viewers watching programs and commercials. Viewers skip advertisements or shut off their television altogether, we lose revenue. To this end, I think there's one important element why digital is different from analog, and it's extremely important. The Advanced Television System Committee standard employs a Dolby 5.1 digital sound system. The dynamic range of the system, i.e. the highs and the lows of volume, allows for theater quality sound. In fact, digital television has more than two times the dynamic range of an average analog television set. Consumers who have purchased large screen television sets in digital now expect the in-home theater experience. Thus, when developing a solution for loud commercials, it is important not to impair the audio range of those sets that have been purchased. In many respects, you now have motion picture production sound quality in the living room. Unfortunately, the noise in most of our living rooms has not changed over the years. So you want to make sure you can enjoy the programs without having problems with the loud commercials. And the industry has made significant progress together, and let me just talk about two things in the context of digital. First, the technical parameters are established by our primary programming providers. In this regard, the major television broadcast networks, in effect, help create a norm for the entire industry. And ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox have each individually implemented policies in the context of digital policies to attempt to control loud commercials in the context of digital television. Moreover, the entire industry, including ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, all local stations, began addressing this issue back in 2007 when the ATSC established the Digital Loudness Subgroup. Now, Jim Starzynski, who has worked on that extensively, will go into detail. Let me just say here that the progress of that subgroup has been remarkable. In many respects, it has resolved more issues in the last 2 years than the government was able to solve in decades. And we are now on the cusp of resolving this issue. Importantly, when ATSC adopts its recommended practice, it will have the salutary effect of providing guidance for all local televisions for local advertising, local programming, syndicated programming, national spot, but also influence both cable and satellite systems, which have similar technologies. I would ask the committee to consider just one word of caution. This system has been worked on now for nearly 2 years. Engineers, by and large, are problem solvers. That's what they do. And we are on the cusp of resolving this issue. Our concern with the bill, if enacted, will send to the FCC for 1 year and require resolution within 1 year. In effect, it creates or may create a jump ball in which once the lawyers get involved, you end up starting the process over in the context of a regulatory environment. And this may have the unintended consequence of actually delaying a solution rather than fostering it. Nonetheless, we think the bill is important. Certainly the bill has focused our attentions and helped accelerate the process, but we are concerned that there may be some unintended consequences here. Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I want to thank Representative Ishu for sponsoring the bill, and I'm prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Donovan. Mr. Starzynski.
Mr. Chairman and Ranking Member Stearns, thank you for inviting me to testify in H.R. 1084 and for the opportunity to discuss how NBC Universal and the TV industry generally are addressing the TV loudness issue. I'm here today representing NBC Universal, which I serve as principal engineer and audio architect. I've been working in the TV industry for 25 years and have focused on digital TV for the past 12. I also serve as chairman of the subgroup on digital television loudness within the Advanced Television Systems Committee, the technical standards organization for over-the-air digital TV. Though digital TV greatly enhances audio quality, if not properly managed, it also creates the opportunity for excessive variations in loudness. This can be especially apparent when transitioning from programs to commercials. The TV industry understands and shares the concerns about variations in volume levels. We want to give our audience the best possible listening experience, and we know that experience is not currently optimal. Congress has also heightened our awareness of the problem and helped galvanize industry action on this issue. As a result, we've invested significant effort and resources in voluntary action to address the situation. This hearing is especially timely because we're on the cusp of offering a solution. Our experience at NBC Universal provides an example of a possible solution. Early on, we recognized that the digital transition would require a culture change in our management of audio of programs and commercials. Whether produced internally or obtained from outside suppliers, TV programs and commercials come from hundreds of different sources. The sheer number and diversity of program sources contribute to uneven volume levels unless properly managed. Thus, our goal of providing a cinema-quality, sound experience also created a risk of excessive variation. Fortunately, the ATSC's current digital standard, as adopted by the FCC, incorporates the necessary technology to eliminate variation in loudness during program-to-commercial transitions. And although the ATSC standard generally applies only to over-the-air broadcasting, the standards and technologies used by cable, satellite, and telco operators are all closely related. Therefore, NBC Universal required our in-house productions, external show suppliers, and advertising customers to provide soundtracks compatible with our in-place ATSC audio practices. We require all of our content to be produced and delivered at a consistent loudness, and we set our broadcast equipment to properly operate at this loudness level. These practices are generally sufficient to ensure a consistent audio level across NBC programs and networks. To address content delivered with loudness outside the range of our spec, WNBC-DT in New York is about to test new technology that will automatically normalize the loudness levels. This technology simply adjusts the volume of disparate content before transmission, much like adjusting the sound with a remote control at home. If the test is successful at WNBC, we plan to apply the technology to all NBCU television services. Now, let me discuss the broader issue and the industry status. In April of 2007, the ATSC recognized that the emerging digital TV loudness problem deserved more attention across the industry. So it created the ATSC subgroup that I chair, which is DTV loudness experts from all over the major broadcast networks, as well as cable, production and post-production, manufacturing, and education. Our goal was to identify the impediments to providing good DTV audio with consistent volume levels, then discuss and document solutions to those problems. This process ultimately led to the development of a recommended practice, which addresses five areas of concern, and those areas are: the first, contemporary sound measurement; the second, establishing the correct sound monitoring environment; the third is an explanation of how to properly manage DTV's metadata element; the fourth is management of dynamic range; and the fifth, methods to effectively control program to interstitial loudness or programs to commercials. This recommended practice is a comprehensive, effective, and easy-to-read resource that covers all issues from content creation through distribution and transmission to the consumer experience. This ATSC recommended practice can become the roadmap for all TV professionals, no matter their industry segment or level of technical sophistication. In terms of timing, the ATSC recommended practice is in final review by the Audio Experts Group and scheduled for submission to our parent group of in July on the 22nd, with release of a final document anticipated for September. After release of the finished recommended practice, the industry will be well positioned to resolve concerns over TV loudness. Because the industry is on the cusp of taking action to address TV loudness concerns, legislation on this matter is, for the moment, inadvisable. Legislation may slow or stall widespread implementation of the recommended practice while the industry waits for congressional and subsequent agency action. Further legislation might result in suboptimal technical solution or require adherence to a technical standard that's already become obsolete. I understand a self-regulatory approach may not provide some with the same level of assurance as a legislative solution. However, I can assure you that the industry is motivated to act. Once again, thanks for inviting me to address this issue. I'd be happy to take your questions.
Thank you, Mr. Starzynski.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another of a special series of Homespun C-SPAN on the June 11, 2009 U.S. Federal Congressional Subcommittee on Communications, Technology, and the Internet. As is common, they're holding hearings on three bills simultaneously, and so the comments weave back and forth between all three bills. There's some clustering of these issues, so today we covered that segment of the hearings that mostly concerned loud commercials, specifically H.R. 1084, the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act. COM Act, the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act. You know they worked on that one. Next week, we'll cover the testimony primarily of witnesses focusing mostly on the low-power FM aspects of this combined hearing. So next week, LPFM and its future, back to the future, a reestablishment of the original LPFM rule. You don't have to wait until H.R. 1147, the Local Community Radio Act of 2009, arrives at the floor of Congress for a vote. You could call and email your friends and family all over the world to call their Congress critters. I mean, a lot of people live overseas, but they're still registered to vote. Call their Congress critter to become a co-sponsor of H.R. 1147, the Local Community Radio Act of 2009. Just like in Rwanda, the voices of internal war and civil terrorism are beating their drums on Clear Channel, Fox News, to huge religious radio networks. But rather than moving to censorship, I think it's better to build 1,000 little WRIRs in every urbanized area in the United States. And H.R. 1147 could make that possible. It could also potentially double the listenable range in a good car radio for listeners of WRIR.